If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Timothy, chapter 6. Begin reading with verse number 11 of 1 Timothy, chapter 6. I've been preaching for almost a year on the second coming on Sunday evenings. And on that same theme tonight, maybe a little different type of message. Chapter 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the only blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Father, as we look in your word, I ask that you'll help me guide what I say. I want to help your people, and I pray for your help to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we're looking for, Christ to come and take us to heaven to be with him. Paul warns Timothy of false teachers, and he warns him about not money, but the love of money that is the root of all evil. The pursuit of the people of God should be found in verse 11 through verse 16, following all of these traits of godliness that Jesus set the example in. Righteousness, our relationship to both God and man, should be rightly lived. Godliness includes our attitude and our motive that it would be pleasing and acceptable unto God. Faith, that's that confidence and trust in the Word of God. Love for God and love for others. Patience, to persevere, to remain under, to serve the Lord with an endurance. Meekness, a self-control that is demonstrated in kindness in the action toward others. Now, Paul admonishes Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. Paul says of himself that he fought a good fight, that he kept the faith. He finished his course in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, when he's getting ready to feel like his death is imminent. He reminds Timothy that he fought a good fight, kept the faith, finished his course. And he said, therefore, there'll be a reward not only for him, but for all those that love the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the word fight is where we get our English word agonize. It means where we get our English word agony, to continuous action of laborousness. It's a noble battle that we fight. We are in a spiritual warfare. In Ephesians, Paul wrote to them in chapter 6 and said, we're to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And so we must put on God's armor. Back in, if you have your Bible open, back in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 18, he gives Timothy a military imperative. He said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So the chastening hand of God in dealing with those that would cause division and strife and trouble within the believers, the apostle has turned these over to Satan for their chastening destruction if they don't repent of their sin and turn back to the Lord. In 2 Timothy 2, if you go back to your right, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 1, He said, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So he's continuously talking to Timothy, a young minister, about the warfare, the spiritual battles, the spiritual warfare that we're in, the truth to faithful men to be committed so they will teach others also. That's the hope of Christianity, is one reaching one and teaching them how to reach another. And then two reach two, and then four reach four. And it multiplies instead of adds together. And before you know it, it can cover a nation of people with the gospel, as the early church covered the then known world with the preaching of the gospel after Pentecost, when they were filled with the Spirit and they were scattered by persecution. They went everywhere preaching the gospel, and churches were established throughout. Now, Timothy was to endure hardness like a good soldier. He said, "Timothy, don't get off track. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." I served in Vietnam, and our job was not there to get involved with the villages and their squabbles and anything like that. We were there for a reason and a purpose, and that was what we were to stick to. And that's the way a soldier is to be. Don't get sidetracked. Pursue with diligence the job that is before us, and God grant us wisdom to know what to put our time into and our efforts into and our concentration. The church has to keep the main thing, because there's constantly things that try to sidetrack us from the job that God has given us to do. Now, he says, lay hold on eternal life. Now, Timothy was a saved man. He was a disciple of the Apostle Paul. It was not a matter that he needed to be saved. He's saying to him to get a grip on the reality of eternal life. Eternal life is God life. It's not the human life we live for 70 or 80 or 90 years. It's eternal. And God has a plan and a purpose that we're going to spend eternity with him. And we're just getting prepared for that day to come where we're going home to be with the Lord and rejoice forevermore. There's work that we're to do in the meantime, battles we're to fight in the light of eternity, that we're going to live forever with the Lord. So give ourselves in this life to the battle, and we'll one day live with the Lord and be rewarded with him. It's not about getting our way with people. It's about what God would have us to do. We're called upon for eternal matters in helping people to know Christ as Savior. Now, we go back to 1 Timothy 6 and look at verse number 13. He said, "I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, keep the commandment, the testimony above reproach, the embodiment of the truth of the gospel message. He's to fight the good fight of faith. The faith is, the faith, as it is referred to, is the embodiment of all Christianity. Christianity as a whole is what the faith is all about. We are of the Christian faith. And that's not just in comparison to other religions, but it's a reality in our life because we receive Christ as our Savior. He said, you've given testimony before many witnesses. And he said, I charge you before two more. He said, I charge you before God, who gives life to all who believe. And I charge you before Christ Jesus, who testified faithful unto death. Even before Pontius Pilate, he gave a good testimony before he went to the cross. And Pilate observed that testimony and hung on the cross. The charges against him were he was the king of the Jews. And he wrote it in the languages of that day, of Hebrew, of Latin, and of Greek, so that all the people could read that he was the king of the Jews. Our kids had that question in the competitions yesterday, one of the questions they were to answer. I said, boy, you kids know that. There's a lot of people don't know that. You know why a lot of people don't know it? It comes out of the Bible. It takes time to read the Bible, doesn't it? He tells Timothy to watch and to persevere and to be on guard, to keep that which is entrusted to you. We're to keep the faith. We're to keep the Word of God. It's been entrusted to us, and now we're to keep it for the next generation that comes along. We're to keep it above reproach until the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be faithful to the end. Live out your life and finish well. Accomplish what God would have you to do in your life, because He's going to appear one day and we're going to be with Him when He does. The appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is a Greek word where we get our English word epiphany. It means a glorious appearing. We're going to see Jesus one day when He calls us up to heaven to be with Him. It'll be an appearing in the clouds for Christians. One day He'll appear upon the earth, and the unsaved, every eye on earth will see Him in that day, and He'll fight the battle of Armageddon when that takes place. You all know Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15, that teaches us to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Knowing soon we will be delivered. Paul knew his life was coming to the close. He had gone through amazing persecution. He'd gone through imprisonments and beatings and all the things that he had suffered. He was getting older. His body would not continue. People in that day didn't live to be 90 and 100 years old very often. The hardship of life and the lack of good food and all the things that those kind of missionaries traveling from place to place to place, with all the different waters they would drink and whatever, it would be amazing. Only the grace of God would prolong their life for a long period of time. Paul knew his time was near. He said, Christ will deliver us from this present evil world. When he wrote to Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, he said, Christ who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So the expectation that Paul writes to Timothy about is all based on the imminent return of Jesus Christ. It motivates us to serve the Lord, knowing that Jesus could come at any time. Back in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 1 through 4, we've used this text in this series at one point. Chapter 3 of Colossians, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye also appear with Him in glory. So the constant reminders in the Scriptures of the coming of the Lord, of our appearance with Him, of the reward that He will bring with Him for us, that we will appear at the judgment seat of Christ. We've looked at all these reminders about the coming of the Lord. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you want to go there with me, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and beginning with verse number 1, again, a military-type command, a charge. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. So a similar expression from Paul to Timothy, with a charge before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is found faithful. Christ will judge the quick, or the living, and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. The dead in Christ are going to rise. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. And Christ will sit on the judgment seat, which is to give rewards to those who have faithfully served Him, or to reveal their life was not gaining rewards by how they lived and what they did. And that will be exposed. That's the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment at Armageddon will take place when Christ will come back to this earth after that. 7 years of tribulation on the earth, and Christ will return, stand on the Mount of Olives, fight the battle of Armageddon, and there'll be a great judgment. The blood will run to the depth of a horse's bridle. And multitudes will be destroyed in that battle. It'll be a time of judgment on the nations and the kingdoms. But there's coming a future judgment beyond that, a judgment of the nations of earth. In the kingdom, they'll be judged on how they treat each other and how they treated the Lord. And He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Matthew 25 reveals the judgment of the nations. And then at the end, there is the great white throne judgment where all the lost will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. So there's a number of judgments that are to come. Thank God our judgment on whether we're going to heaven or hell is settled when you receive Christ as your Savior. He died in your place. It's Him that saved you. Nobody can take that away from you. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2 through 5, he's told Timothy to be faithful giving out the word of God, because in verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. In these following verses, in this chapter, there are 9 imperatives that are given by the apostle to Timothy of things he needs to do. First, he needs to preach the word. And to preach there means to herald the word. It can refer to being a witness, or it can refer to preaching a sermon. And we are to give the word of God. Do you know what the hope of this world is? The hope is not my opinion or your opinion. The hope is the word of God. If we can get the word of God to people, the word has power to save men's soul. We're to be ready. We're to be instant, in season, out of season. Always ready to give an answer of the reason of the hope that is in us. Ready to serve God. Ready to carry the mail. Ready to do the job. God wrote the letter. We're just delivering the mail. And we need to be ready to do it like the mailman. Saw the other day somebody posted a picture of a mailman that retired. He worked 69 years carrying the mail. Said he had no days off, no failures of carrying the mail. He had his holidays and his vacations and all that, of course. But he was never absent. He said the story of the, whatever it is they say, you know, dark a night or rain or snow or any of that sort of thing would not keep him from his appointed rounds, and it didn't for 69 years. Now, that's got to be some kind of record, you know, of course. But we're to be ready. We're to be faithful. We're to give out the message. And in that message, we may need to reprove. That means to expose truth to people, to expose error, to prove a point, to make an apologetic, to teach somebody the truth that God would have them to learn, and then to rebuke. To rebuke, you tell somebody the good they have done. Jesus gave a rebuke to the 7 churches of Asia Minor, and 6 of those churches at least, he found fault with them, but first he told them all the things they were doing right. And then he rebuked them for the wrong things that were in their ministry that they needed to repent of. Exhortation, to admonish, to we're called alongside other people to look to the future, to give an exhortation of the Word of God, to comfort somebody. As the Holy Spirit is our comforter, deals with the sorrows of the past that we're still experiencing, and we need comfort. Hopefully not long back problems, but something that's happened, you know, a death of a loved one or a tragic situation, and we need comfort, and we're called alongside to be comforters, but the Holy Spirit is the genuine comforter. But exhortation deals with the future to prepare people for what's coming in the future. We're to watch, be sober, sound of mind, be in self-control, free from the influence of intoxicants that would cloud our minds and keep us from thinking clearly, because we need to know what we're thinking and know what our job is with God. Endure afflictions, bear up under them, do the work of the ministry, make full proof of our ministry. It means fill to the brim. I shared that with you in a message a while back where the you put grain in a sack and you grab it, and you roll the sack down some, you know, and you put grain in it all the way up, and you take where you rolled it and you pick it up and shake it and pound it on the ground a little bit, and boy, it'll settle back down about half full. And then you fill it up again, and you do the same thing again, and you fill it up some more, and you do it again. And then finally, when it gets up to the top, you unroll it and sew it shut. And that's how they would grind grain and corn. And ground corn is what they call shorts. Makes like a corn flour to feed hogs and stuff like that. You scoop a big metal cup, you know, full of that shorts and mix it in with some hot water and some other stuff, you know, and feed the hogs. I was raised, we had two hogs all the time. They had a little area they could run around, but mostly they were in a pen and a wooden big box that they stayed in, you know, and that's where we slopped them, and that's where they ate, and that's where they got fat. We had one get so fat one time, we almost couldn't get him out of the box, you know. We was get him on the truck. Had a hog weigh 500 pounds in the back of an old pickup truck, and when the hog would stumble this way and fall over this side of the back of the truck would do like this, you know, and moving us around. Take them and have them slaughtered and make sausage. Y'all like sausage, don't you? Fry that up in the morning. Makes good grits. Put sausage in it, you know. Tasty. And gotta grind it. You gotta fill it up. You gotta raise your corn, and then you gotta grind your corn and make your shorts, and you gotta fill up your sack, get it full. God wants you to fill up your ministry, fill up your life with serving Him completely. Now, last of all, Paul gives Timothy his own testimony in chapter 4, and verse 7 and 8. Under the witnesses of many, his life has been fought a good fight, finished his course, kept the faith. For all who love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, are expectant a reward for faithful service to God, just as the Apostle Paul. Paul was an amazing apostle of God, but he was still just a man. Elijah, James says, was a man of like passions, just like you and me. But he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. And then 3.5 years later, he prayed it would rain, and it did rain. We need some Elijah praying right now that it wouldn't rain for a little while, you know. But y'all hang around, because we'll need some more before the summer gets here, you know. That we would be granted the crowns of reward because we love the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're looking for Him to come, longing for Him to come, living in expectation that He's coming. We should finish our course, fight the good fight, keep the faith, be ready for Him. Christ is going to appear one day. We need to stay on course. We're following Jesus, and we must not get sidetracked in the affairs of this life. We've got to keep following Jesus. Stay on course. One fellow wrote about going through the big caverns and said the light in certain areas was fairly new area they'd opened up, and the light was not yet very good there. They just had a string of lights, and the guy said, stay close to your guide. You know, that's good advice for us all as Christians. Stay close to your guide. Stay close to the Word of God. Stay close to the Lord. Stay close to one that is leading the way in the right way. God gives us many things without measure. His love is continuous, it's eternal, it's everlasting. He gives us His grace. God's grace is sufficient, doesn't matter what we're going to face. His mercy is new every morning, the Scripture says. It endures forever. His forgiveness, not 7 times 70, but over and over. As oft as we ask His forgiveness, we can find forgiveness. He gives us protection and provision. He gives us so many things without measure, but time is measured. Paul said, the time of my departure is at hand. Back in the Psalms, in Psalm 90 and verse number 12, Scripture says, teach us to number our days. Help us to know that our life is limited. Help us to know that the time of the Lord's coming could take us to heaven at any time. James said, life's like a vapor. It appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. You're laying up treasure in heaven to go there one day and enjoy the rewards of your faithfulness on earth. You understand compound interest, don't you? How you put money in the bank in an IRA. Right now you can get an IRA that pays, a CD, pays 3-4% over a period of about 4 years. That's a pretty good interest rate for today. You make some profit. 4 years depends on how much money you got to put into it. You got to put quite a bit in it to make quite a bit. But if it's compounded over a 30 or 40 year period of time, it can mount up to quite a sum of money. And that's how most people invest for their retirement. They work jobs and they put into retirement, and many of those jobs match what people put in. And you earn compound interest. Stock market, 7-8% over a long period of time. It mounts up. Imagine all that you're laying up in heaven with the good works that you're doing, and how the Lord is going to compound your reward to give back to you one day. He told Peter, if you gave up houses and lands and family and all of that for me, I'll give you 100-fold. That's pretty good compound interest, isn't it? God pays great dividends. Right now, He pays in protecting us and providing for us and prosperity that He gives to us. He gives us also the promise of an inheritance in the future. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have a living hope. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I've told you many times, everything on this earth will rust and bust and collect dust. But there's a reward reserved for you in heaven that will never fade away. It won't grow old. It won't wear out. It's being compounded for you because we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Looking for His appearing, our great God and Savior. Father, thank You for the faithfulness of Your people today to being in the house of God. Thank You for the faithfulness of their service unto You. Help us all to be mindful that our lives count for You. We've been charged, as Paul charged Timothy, to be found faithful in the work of the Lord, in sharing the gospel message, in helping others, doing good works. We have the promise of Your reward, but I think more than the promise of reward, we want to serve You because we love You, because You loved us and gave Yourself for us. Give us that grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.